Our webinar for the Defender. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I'm going to MC this event this morning. I want to start by taking note of a headline that was in the American newspapers yesterday that described how 12 attorney generals from the Democratic Party, my party, from different states in the United States, has sent a menacing letter to the internet platform titans or CEOs, Jeff Zuckerberg, I think Sergey Brin for YouTube, for Facebook, for Instagram and Twitter, Jack Dorsey. And the attorney generals are demanding that those platforms deplatform anybody who reports a vaccine injury. So, and any doctor who recommends any kind of treatments for COVID or for building your immune system that is not approved by the government. So now we have attorney generals with no medical training who are practicing medicine in our country and who are censoring information from people whose lives have been disrupted by an unwanted, and in some cases wanted, medical intervention. And they're being told they cannot talk about it. And this is just the latest in a series of extraordinary incidents in Germany. And we have people from Germany and Italy to talk to you today, literally criticizing a pharmaceutical product has now been criminalized in those countries. You run out of adjectives to describe what's happening today. Aldous Huxley, Orwellian, Kafkaesque, dystopian. These are things that even 2 years ago, I could not have imagined. A year ago, my father was Attorney General of the United States, and he understood that free speech was the bedrock of American democracy, that democracy requires, that it thrives on, that the free flow of information, the capacity to dissent, the capacity to criticize our government are critical features of democracy. This is the sunlight of democracy. It is the oxygen of democracy. Open debate in the public square, and democracy will wither and die without it. And somehow my political party, which has championed the First Amendment of the United States Constitution almost since its creation, has championed the cause of free speech in the United States and around the world. And now my political party is leading the march for censorship. And of course, everybody, all of the great thinkers and philosophers and political statesmen and diplomats throughout history have said time and time again that censorship is the first step of totalitarianism. And of course, we're now seeing the complete demolition of the United States Constitution. After they got rid of censorship, they got rid of religious freedoms. Although we were ordered in our country to close all the churches for a year and keep the liquor stores open as an essential business. Well, the churches are protected by our Constitution, the liquor stores are not. We've abolished due process in our country. There's no longer notice and comment rulemaking. We simply have one medical technocrat who is dictating from the top policies that are arbitrary, that are capricious, that are not offering no factual or evidence-based science on them. We have the demolition of property rights in our country for a year. All the business owners in our country were told to shut down. A million businesses have gone bankrupt. 60% of Black businesses permanently in our country bankrupt. All of these rights, the right to the guarantee against unwarranted search and seizure, which are being completely eviscerated by the tracking and tracing, the forced medical procedure, the coercive medical interventions, all of these things, the abolition of jury trials, Sixth Amendment, the Seventh Amendment guarantees jury trials to any American who suffers an injury of $25 or more. This is 200 years of history. And we've now gotten rid of jury trials for any countermeasure, including if you get injured by vaccination, you have no rights. The reason that they've been able to get away with this is because they can censor information. They can stop people from talking about it to each other. And this is not just an American problem. It is a global problem. Democracy is under assault in a lockstep totalitarian march by governments all over the world. And it's a mystery to so many of us how this suddenly happened. And we marvel at the coordination and the efficiency by which all of our rights are being stolen from us. And most importantly, the right to our public health and to make health choices for ourselves, to decide which medicines we can consume, we want to consume, and which medicines we don't want to. And the Defender, we launched the Defender for the specific reason to create a safe place where people from all over the world can hear science, can debate it. We have an extraordinary fact-checking operation, and we want to make sure that people in our movement are referring and referencing and citing science that is real science, that is good science, that is reliable. And part of the disinformation campaign against us is to float all kinds of rumors and things that seem like they may be the truth and that they are not. And we serve the purpose, serve the role of going into that space and saying, that is not true. You cannot rely on that. And here's what the science say. Everything that we put on the Defender, every factual assertion is cited to a government database or to peer-reviewed publications so that you can rely on it and people can rely on it. We need, if we're gonna have free debate, we need to be able to agree on the facts. And what we try to do at the outset is to make sure that the facts that we print are reliable. The second thing that we encourage is a civil debate. We invite people from industry, from government, come onto our site, and we have a comment section where anybody, we allow anybody who wants to be civil and wants to be science-based can print, even if they don't agree with us, because that's what we need in a democracy. We need a free, open conversation. Good policies always evolve through the cauldron of furious debate. And we want to create a safe place to have that kind of debate in a democracy. The public square has now been abolished. It's owned by these internet titans who are taking their orders from government officials upon whom their revenues and their business models rely. We're creating the only safe space today where people from all over the world can find reliable science and then they can debate it. And we understand that the United States is one of the sources of the problem. We have been the emblem of democracy around the world, so it was important to start this here in the United States. But we also understand that this is a global problem, that this assault on civil rights, on human rights, is happening in every country on the globe. And all of the people who are objecting to it need to be able to have conversations with each other. We need to be able to communicate with each other. And all of the places where we used to communicate are gone today. They have been taken away from us. And we need to create a safe place where people can find reliable scientific information, where they can talk to other members of their community in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia, in Germany, in Italy, in France, in Belgium, in Holland. And so today we are making the momentous and wonderful announcement that we are now going to have the Defender available in 5 languages. And those 5 languages are Spanish, English, Dutch, German, French. Carrie, correct.
Okay, let me jump in. It's English, Spanish, French, German and Italian. Not Dutch yet, but we're almost there.
We're almost in Holland. Oh, it's very soon. So hold on and just try to, if you live in Holland, try to read the German versions for the time being, and we will have it in Dutch very, very soon. So I have an incredible group of panelists today who are each going to speak for a short amount of time. And the first person I'm going to introduce is my friend, my colleague, my hero, Dr. Rainer Fulmeck, who is an attorney from both California and from Germany. He's the co-founder of the Corona Investigative Committee. Dr. Fulmeck has published various articles and books in the fields of banking law, medical law, private international law, and has already taught as a professor and lecturer at universities in Germany and Estonia. In July 2020, and he and three other lawyers with litigation experience founded the German Coronavirus Investigative Committee, which has since held weekly meetings involving international experts from numerous disciplines to investigate the corona crisis, identify collateral damage of the measures taken, examine the scientific basis of the claims, and point out the medical and epidemiological mishandling of the crisis. And I am lucky enough to be one of the participants in those lively and wonderful and informative debates. And Rainer, welcome. Please talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me, Bobby. It's always interesting, to say the least. What you just told us about the destruction of democracy, it sure as hell is a worldwide, a lockstep problem. And we have just experienced this here in Germany, because a judge who's the first one in the world to write a decision in favor of parents who complained that what was done to their children at school was dangerous for them. He's the first one to actually look at the evidence, hear expert witnesses, and then come back with a decision that says, you cannot do this to children. This mask mandate, social distancing, et cetera, it's dangerous, both physically dangerous and, of course, mentally dangerous for children. And he's the first one to have heard three expert witnesses who testified as to how reliable are the PCR tests, because the PCR test, the Dresden PCR test, is what everything is based on. That's the foundation for any and all of these anti-corona measures. Another expert wrote an opinion on how these masks are dangerous. They're not just ineffective, they're dangerous. And the third expert wrote about how, he's a psychologist, how this affects children in a massive way for years to come. Now, what happened is that a few weeks after, actually, the decision was written on April the 4th, the 8th rather, a couple of weeks later, they searched his office, his home, his car, they seized his computer, and they seized his cell phone. He's gotten it all back, and I got him one of the best criminal defense attorneys, one person who's a good friend and who's also one of the most experienced criminal defense attorneys. He's in his early 70s, great guy. He got another person out of a psychiatric institution where he was kept for 7 years without any good reason. But what this shows us is that you're absolutely right, Bobby. This assault on the fundamental right of freedom of speech, because that's what this is about. In this case, it affects a judge who is not doing nothing but his job. This fundamental right is under extreme attack, and this is happening worldwide. A colleague of this judge's who wrote a similar decision in late December, I think, of this year. He is also the subject of criminal investigations. Of course, they're both going to win this, that is for sure. But what is more important is that the signal that they're trying to send, not just to judges, but also to parents, is don't do this or you're going to be in trouble. Now, these guys are, they're in good shape. They're a group of other lawyers, of judges and criminal defense attorneys, including, by the way, prosecutors, who are somehow trying to protect them. But it is just extremely hard to stand by and not do anything. I mean, of course, this friend of ours, this criminal defense attorney, is doing his best to defend this guy, and he will get off the hook. But in the meantime, the damage is just immeasurable, because there's so many parents out there who do not dare ask a family court, because that's what this guy is. He's a family court judge, who do not dare ask a family court for protection for their children. And there's so many judges out there who will not be able, because they're scared, who will not be able to afford this kind of protection by hearing expert witnesses in order to make an informed decision. So what you're saying is extremely important. We all have to be aware of this, and that's what the defender is great for. I remember that a longer article that you, Bobby, wrote about Bill Gates was probably, as far as I can tell from those channels in Telegram and Signal and others, it's probably one of the most read pieces, one of the most read articles ever. So people are interested. They want to know about these things. They want to know what's going on in the rest of the world. And it's the only chance that we have is to connect on an international scale, to talk with each other, to exchange information. Because if it weren't for this exchange of information, again, we're back to the freedom of speech, then we wouldn't know what's really going on as far as this lockstep approach is concerned. Most people who are just now waking up are waking up because all of a sudden they realize this is not a coincidence. This is happening not just here in Germany, not just in the Netherlands, in the United States and Canada and Africa. It's happening everywhere. So there's got to be something else behind this besides health. It cannot be health. That's why I'm saying this is one of the best ideas ever. What you're doing right now, launching this thing on an international basis. And it's even more important because you just alluded to the fact that that your own party is now applying pressure on the social media platforms. I have just launched my attorneys have just launched a complaint against Google for censoring one of my videos. So we think this is the right time to go forward and to attack, not just sit there and wait until the next shoe's dropping, but to go forward and attack to protect the freedom of speech and democracy.
Thank you very much, Reiner Fulmeck. I want to make one comment, because CDC did something this week that is in the center of your wheelhouse, which is they issued an official guidance changing the amplifications on the PCR test. Oh, the PCR test, when you use it at higher amplifications, it exaggerates the number of people who are sick. Well, CDC issued a guidance this week. They've been using the amplifications at 40. Now they've reduced them for people who get sick from COVID after receiving the vaccine. They're reducing the amplifications by 90 to 28, which is a reduction in 90% of the cases will immediately disappear. And the clear motive behind that is to make the vaccines seem like they're efficacious, to make it seem as if the vaccines are preventing people from getting sick. It's the only explanation of why they'd be doing it. And it's so transparent and so horrendous that, I know it's something that you've been trying to address from the beginning. I screwed up this webinar starting at the beginning. I was supposed to introduce Carrie Bundy first. Let me do that now. Carrie's is our translation coordinator at CHD. Carrie's four-month-old son, Mason, died after his routine vaccinations, including DTaP in 2011, and his story was featured in the film Vax 2. Health freedom activist, she's a speaker at events, including the Children's March for Humanity, the VIE event in 2019, the autism one in the March Against Monsanto. She joined CHD Children's Health Events 1 year ago in May of 2020, and she is fluent in Spanish with a passion for applied linguistics and cultural studies. She formerly worked in public relations for Jenny McCarthy's autism organization, Generation Rescue. Carrie, hi. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'm glad we got to it. So this has been so exciting. Bobby has always wanted to take this international, and we are just thrilled that we were able to add in four new languages. We started the process, or talking about the process, in July, and by August, I started working on Spanish translations and trying to figure out how we would make that work. The cornerstone of our translation program here at Children's Health Defense is that we use all volunteer translators. It started because there were several moms that couldn't afford to donate to our organization, but wanted to donate in some way. And the way that someone suggested was that they wanted to help provide translations. So that gave me the idea that maybe more people would be interested in this. And to date, we have 65 volunteer translators that are constantly helping us get our content turned over and translated, usually within 24 hours. We've translated over 1,100 articles since November for The Defender. We're hoping that this really does launch us fully international and worldwide. One of the problems with censorship that most Americans don't know, and that's why I'm thrilled to have an international panel, is that when you get into other countries, you compound the censorship with things are lost in translation. So one of the things that we make sure to do here at Children's Health Defense and The Defender with our translations is we do not use machine translations. Like I said, we have our volunteers and they're doing human translation. So we have proofreaders, everyone is checking. We make sure that we are only giving you the best translations possible. And we're just really excited about this program, and I'm excited to hear from the other panelists.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Our next speaker is Tina Choi. Tina is our CHD Europe board member. She studied translation and is the mother of two daughters. She's been researching vaccine safety for the last 8 years. She's a health freedom activist in a German organization for the past few years. She met Senta Dubuit, who is our European CHD Europe president, and she became a board member of CHD Europe. She translated the movies Vax 2 and the 1986 The Act into German. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. So I would like to talk to you a little bit about what Carrie just said about how much work actually goes into the translations. So when it was decided to have articles from The Defender translated, we put out a call on social media via the German lawyer, Markus Heinz. And within the next couple of days, I had hundreds of emails in my inbox, and I was completely blown away by all those great professional people who wanted to help us. So we went through this screening process. It was very extensive. And by the way, if you're watching right now and you have contacted me before, and for some reason you feel like you have fallen through the cracks, please feel free to contact me again. So I would like to talk about the question, why do we even need human translators? I mean, can't machines do the same job and much quicker and more consistent? The answer at this point in time is definitely no. Because, for example, when words have multiple meanings, a translator can easily find the right one through the context. Translators can also read between the lines and capture the tone and the mood of a text. They also know which kind of emotions are connected and attached to a word. For example, a swear word could have a very mild meaning in one language, but be highly offensive in another. And translators can even supply cultural context, which is extremely important. For example, if a US institution is mentioned that the German reader is not familiar with, a translator can draw a comparison to an equivalent institution in Germany. A machine cannot do that. And on top of that, our translators are not just professionals, but they're all awake and well-informed individuals who are familiar with all the topics that matter to CHD. So as you can see, there's a lot of work going into the translations. And that is for good reason, because I should probably tell you that most Germans will not read an article or take its content seriously if the translation sounds strange or unprofessional. For example, if the syntax is wrong, or even when there are too many anglicized words in a text, it can put a reader off. So the quality of the translation is very, very important if we want the content to be taken seriously. Now, there are over 100 million German speakers in Europe alone. And especially since last year, we all seem to find ourselves in very similar situations worldwide. So a global exchange of information is now more important than ever before. And unfortunately, the mainstream media has done an abominable job informing the public and are, in my opinion, to blame for much that is going on today. But fortunately, more and more people are realizing this and are seeking truth in the alternative media. But even here, we have the problem that much of the information is not researched well, and so many falsehoods are being spread. So to have a trusted platform like The Defender, which is scientific and extremely well-researched, well-sourced, and which welcomes debate, this is incredibly rare and so needed in a time like right now. And lastly, the articles are also fairly easy to read, not just for doctors or lawyers, but even for a mom like me. So this is why I love sharing The Defender's articles with everyone, and I know I can do so with confidence. And if you are in Europe, please also check out our website, childrenshealthdefense.eu. You will find fantastic info on all issues relevant to Europe and also a course of action you can take, like we're doing right now against the so-called Green Pass. So thank you so much, Mr. Kennedy. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And I'm looking forward to a great cooperation between CHD USA and Europe. And I know that this is just the beginning and that The Defender will soon be translated into many, many more languages. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Marga del Olmo. And she is appearing for her husband, Luis de Miguel Ortega, who is a consumer attorney in Spain. And Luis got stuck in court today on a forced vaccination case in Spain. Margo will be giving us his update and answering any questions. Margo?
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for letting me be with you in this so important thing about censorship and about an action to stop all this. Okay, I'm Marga. I'm the general secretary of a small consumers association in Spain. The name is Scabelum. Scabelum was born in 2004 and as association for promotion of all and coexistence, the conflict resolution to fight against corruption. In 2016, we became an association to defense for the defense of the consumers of public services, such as education, justice, health. And since then, we fight against medical abuse, psychiatric abuse, especially with several lawsuits of transparency and claims regarding the safety and efficacy of vaccines and certain medications too. Since the beginning of this pandemic, we have initiated about 30 different lawsuits for the rules imposed on the restrictions and lockdown of the fundamental rights in different high courts in Spain and in the Supreme Court too. We have not had any practical results, no victories, although we have noticed that the government has rectified some regulations after our lawsuits, which is very important, and we find this very rewarding to go on with this. This is why in November 2020, we decided to give direct support to concrete people in concrete cases affected by fundamental rights restrictions and vaccines, confinements, illegal detentions, and so on. We collaborate directly with Mr. Fulmich and in his work to complain about the abuse of PCR. And this situation in Spain is very critical. There is no rule of law. The rules are imposed by the executive in abuse of an advisory body called Interterritorial Council. There is no judicial independence, and we know from friends, prosecutors, and judges that they are receiving pressures and threats. So the only thing I want to thank is thank you to letting us to be here, because we think we are people of action, and we think that there's an action which is needed. And the censorship to this, we set up a channel, which my husband usually says, which is uncensored. And up to the moment, we had no censorship there, because we feel that everything which is censored is what people need to know. So this is very important, and all the censorship which is in YouTube and all these channels, it is a bit crazy for this. And well, this is my small intervention. I'm a bit nervous, sorry, because it's the first time I speak to you, and I'm not used to it, okay?
Thank you, Marga. Our next speaker is Karina Powers. Karina is the co-founder of Latinos for Medical Freedom, which is a USA group. She was born and raised in Salinas, California, which is the salad bowl of the world, and is currently living in Monterey, California. Her father marched with Cesar Chavez in the 70s in Salinas, where Chavez was arrested. She became vocal about vaccine injury with the introduction of SB 277 in California. During the SB 276 battle, it became obvious that the Latino community was not receiving accurate information in their language to make informed decisions regarding medical procedures. And this is where the birth of Latinos for America for Medical Freedom took place. Karina has worked with other organizations, including CHD, assisting with translations. During the lockdown, she's been actively working locally to getting information out to farm working families in the region. Welcome, Karina.
Truly an honor to be working with you, Mr. Kennedy, and getting the information out in Spanish. It's so crucial that we get the adequate information and that we have the backing for such a great platform. There has been a lot of, despite all the activism we've been doing and doing it in English, the information is still not getting to the Latino community or the Spanish speaking communities. And they're having a lot of hesitancy, but there's a lot of coercion happening. It's happening within their employment. And a lot of, you know, like you said, I come from the salad bowl of the world. And there's a lot of, the ag industry is huge here. And many of these workers, these ag workers, are being housed within the company. So they have their own apartments through the company. And then some of these companies also provide them with a clinic. And so they have that sensation that they have to comply with certain things, such as the vaccine, the COVID vaccine coming out and being pushed out to the ag workers. And if they don't comply, they feel like they will lose their job or lose their housing. And that's where a lot of them are happening. A lot of them are getting that sensation of being coerced, or if they're not in the ag community, they're either going to the doctors and they're being told that they're gonna call CPS on them for their children, or they will be involving ICE to deport them out of the country. And unfortunately, it's coming from our own people. These people are speaking, they also speak the language, but they're not giving them the proper informed consent. A lot of the forms that they have are not adequately translated, or they're given just little bits, you know, tidbits of information, and they're not making the proper informed decision to whether they should decide whether they should vaccinate or not. Right now, they're really targeting really hard the Spanish Latino speaking community, because a lot of them are hesitant. They either receive the first vaccine and they have seen the effects of it, the secondary effects, So they're not going back to get the secondary vaccine. And many of these families have seen that, you know, the secondary effects. So they're afraid. And so they're pushing the narrative to get this information out as far as them to go out and get this the vaccine. Unfortunately, it's in our media. It's in every Spanish media. One day I sat down to watch the news, and like every 5 minutes, they were pushing to do compelling commercials for them or compelling messages for them to go out and get the vaccine, constantly pushing that message out. And so people feel like if they're the ones deciding not to get the vaccine, and therefore they go. I've been getting calls from different individuals who only speak Spanish and have had the secondary effect from after receiving the vaccine, and they're not getting the proper care afterwards. They're not being reported to the VAERS program. They're unaware that there is a reporting system. And that's because there's no help for these individuals. And once I explain to them all the information, you know, they find my information through someone else that's referring them to come to me. Then they said, if I would have known, I would have never gotten this vaccine. So having this information is very crucial. And being the fact that, you know, Cinco de Mayo is coming around, which is tomorrow, I encourage everyone to go on the CHD website and download the Spanish information and share that on your platforms, print them out and share it with someone that you know, because it's not just in the ag community, it's in every community throughout the United States. I've been hearing from different areas, even in Latin America, where this is happening as well. There's immigrants that are coming into the country and they're being pushed into working. And then the first thing that they do is vaccinate them, get them up to par with the vaccines. So it's very crucial that everybody gets on top of distributing this information out. And we're very grateful to have this platform to be able to get the information to the individuals, that knowing that it's well-sourced and that we can make a huge difference.
Thank you very much, Karina. Our next speaker is Frederike Warner Allen, who is the CHG Europe Director of Communications. Frederike helped launch the French translations for Defender and now is a major part of the CHG Europe team. She's a native French speaker now living in the UK with a background in marketing, communication, technology, internet. Frederike is eager to protect the health of her family and her children and to defend the rights to medical freedom. She likes to promote new visions of health and society and is committed to help CHD to build a network across the globe by sharing information and actions. Welcome, Frederike.
You're muted.
Sorry. Apologize. Thank you very much, Bobby. It's an honor to be here. Yes, I've been working with CHD since October of last year, and now I would like to explain why it was so important for me to help bring to CHD and the Defender content in French since last year. Early at university, I learned how important it is to know who owns the media, to be able to know if you can trust or not the information coming from this media, check with writing, check the sources, etc. And in today's world, this is key. And I have a keen interest in my personal journey in health for the last 20 years, and it's very important for me to make informed decisions about my own health. So I look for information. And being bilingual, living in the UK, I've been able to get the benefit to not only carry on my quest of French sources, but also from English sources. And this has expanded in many ways my knowledge about health, the vaccine industry, the regulators at a national level and at an international level, nutrition, our immune system, microbiome, etc. And try to discuss all these health issues with my friends, family in France was sometimes challenging and frustrating as we are not able to access the same breadth and depth of information I was able to by going to international sources in English. I've always been so impressed with the nature and scope of the information from Children's Health Defense and the Defender, which, as you know, is peer-reviewed, officially sourced, and objective from the best scientists, lawyers, journalists, researchers. And as the pandemic and the political machination around the public health had unfolded, I felt the urgent need to be able to share CHD content in French so I could share it with my friends, family, network, and all the French-speaking people in Europe, Canada, Africa, because we all need to read that information now. So I approached CHD, and I was delighted when they took up my offer to start translating key articles of the Defender, working with Carrie. And I believe that if you want to have an impact from the information you are sharing, we must talk to people in their mother tongue. And this is what motivates me. Through my work with CHD, I sincerely hope we are bringing a greater level of confidence to everybody who are listening, who are not able to access the information in their mother tongue. There are more and more, and we all need more and more to take decisions about our health, our loved one, fight for our freedom, our democracy. And finally, I would like to add that I'm now working for CHD Europe with Santa Depert, Tina, and a fantastic team. And I invite you all who are listening, if you are in Europe, to go to our website, which is multilingual. Subscribe to our newsletter, which is currently available in English, French, German, and Italian, and very soon in Spanish and Portuguese. Read, share our articles about European issues, which have a European perspective. We translate events that are happening in other countries, in other languages, and our content is all very actionable. We try to. And as Tina mentioned, we have a big action lag in the Green Past. We are supporting European lawyers like Renata Holsenzen and working with us. So it's now, you know, go take action, read, inform yourself, share. And information is good, but information needs to lead to action if we want to change what's happening now. Thank you very much. Danke schön. Merci.
Danke schön. Merci beaucoup. Thank you, Frederic. And now, a real hero, Dr. Antoinetta Gatti from Italy. She is an international fellow of the Union of Societies of Biomaterials and Engineering. She is a founder and principal investigator of New Nanodiagnostics, SRI. She is a visiting professor at the Institute for Advanced Science Conversion, Department of State, the United USA. She is a president of the Association for Health, Law, and Science, located in Geneva, Switzerland. She is a member of the scientific board of the Foundation Lino Rossi in the University of Milan, and a former consultant to all Italian government commissions on the depleted uranium and the soldiers' disease. Dr. Gatti has an interdisciplinary background that ranges from physics, chemistry, biology, physiology, and pathology. He has a 30-year experience in research in the field of biomaterials and biocompatibility at national and international levels in various capacities. She's supportive of performance-driven and passionate while focusing on a continually learning and development. Dr. Gatti invented the word nanopathology and developed a new diagnostic tool that allows scientists to make clinical diagnostics of pathologies due to nanoparticles like leukemia. Dr. Gatti, I've got another 5 pages, but I think I'll let you do the talking.
Okay, thank you, Robert. You are very kind. I believe that the current situation in Italy is particularly different from what many other countries in the world are experiencing. A global protocol is applied. The revolution underway is there for all to see, and what matters to those who believe they benefit from what is happening and those who actually do benefit from it is to make people believe it is something that it is done for the good of the entire planet. What is leverage on is fear. That is the irrational part of the mind, which being irrational does not respond to reason, but it is capable of dominating it. A key aspect of the strategy is not to let uncomfortable news spread and instead spread artful created lies. So censorship becomes indispensable. A censorship focused on these so-called vaccines or drugs and so-called pandemic. As far as Italy is concerned, the regime's censorship is almost impenetrable. Anyone who dares not only question the effectiveness of vaccines and or their safety faces an insurmountable wall. And so is for the therapies put into practice. Doctors are blackmailed, and any one of them who expresses any doubts regarding the regime's orders is sanctioned, going as far as being expelled from the orders of doctors, which means for them the impossibility of working. On the other hand, doctors who inoculate so-called vaccines to anyone and who refuse to answer their patients' questions are rewarded with significant sums of money, and in certain cases are rewarded with promotions. Every day, virologists of the regime appear in the TV dispensing a personal, not scientific, truth. The so-called information media receive incentives to lie. Since last November, the Italian government has allocated tens of millions of euros to reward television, radios, newspaper willing to collaborate. This means that what reaches the public is only the news, almost always distorted or completely invented, coming from the regime. Almost all of Italian media have agreed to collaborate, both to receive financial support and to avoid trouble. It is not uncommon to arrive at a grotesque situation. For example, the discovery of real identity in sources of the regime itself, and which at the same time are censored. Many other examples can be made. For instance, on the numbers of the deaths from COVID and of the sick hospitalized patients in intensive care units. What the general public receives as information is that hundreds of people die from COVID every day and that intensive care units are overcrowded. But if you consult the statistical data, it turns out that none of this is true and numbers are completely different. Perhaps every more grotesque is the case of the book written by our health minister. That is one of the most active men in the regime. To withdraw it from distribution just after its release was his own entourage, given the absurdities it contained, too absurd to be believed at the moment, and for this reason judged counterproductive. Of course, the majority of the Italians are unaware of the existence of that book. But it is only the information related to the moment that is subjected to censorship. To be censored is a scientific knowledge, incredible as such as censorship can be. They want to demolish the known laws of science and nature. Another example is that which concerns the treatment reserved for those hospitalized in intensive care wards for COVID. In many cases, those patients are treated with psychotropic drugs without excluding morphine and even tied to their beds. Then to make matter worse, they are intubated and given oxygen, Since February of last year, we have been saying that the problem with those patients is a pulmonary thromboembolism. But only a few months ago, that condition was officially recognized. Now it has been known for decades that giving those patients oxygen is putting their lives at risk. But after 1 year in hospital, the treatment is as equal as that applied 1 year ago. The protocol in force in Italy obliged doctors to do something that contrasts with medicine. What is incredible is that the censorships affect doctors who treat patients at home. Their results are very different from those of hospitals. A mortality, in fact, reduced to zero compared to a far from negligible mortality in those treated according to the protocols imposed by the government. In fact, those doctors have to act almost covertly to avoid penalties. Censorship or verbal attacks without the possibility of replication are used against anyone who dares to report any data contrary to the regime, in particular when it is pointed out how the lockdown and the use of masks not only do not protect against the spread of viruses, but on the contrary, they stimulate the disease. Contrary to what are the rule of science, no debate is allowed, and people without any scientific dignity are passed off as a scientist and a custodians of the truth. It is obvious that the school from early childhood to university is modified according to what is planned to achieve the so-called New World Order. In Italy, schools have been closed for months, then reopened in a virtual way, that is with lessons that students attend at home through their computers or cell phones, thus preventing any social contact. Of course, what it is taught must be controlled and approved by the regime. And there is no hesitation in totally distorting science and history. This approach, the normal rules of against socialization, is the best thing for children. The overwhelming majority of Italians are convinced that everything that is being done is for their own good. And the economic ruin caused by the forced closure of a larger number of businesses is considered a necessary sacrifice. Today, millions of families have crossed the poverty line due to the inability to work. What is happening in Italy, but which I believe is also happening elsewhere, is that those who are part of the dominant system and have economic availability take possession of a real estate, productive and commercial activities, with this becoming, in fact, the owner of the community. The reaction of revolt when there are reaction and police are unable to stop them never reach the news. So the impression one gets is that the new slavery is gladly accepted and indeed desired. One proof is a reporting system promoted by the regime. As in all the dictatorship, attention must be paid to those who observe us, with the neighbors being particularly dangerous. So I am proposing an aggregation of all of the global forces of all of the Novax Association in a federation in order to aggregate all of the forces possible in order to contrast this system. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gotti. Now we have a few minutes to do questions, and Carrie, I'm not exactly sure how we take questions.
Well, Neither am I. Did you think of any questions you wanted to ask our panelists while they're still here with us?
I mean, I'd love to hear from Fulmic. I think we have a couple of minutes about what the, you know, what you think, what you consider the most, the kind of legal approaches that you're most optimistic about.
The most difficult question to answer is, are there any independent legal systems left? We know that there are a lot of independent judges who are still there and who are trying to do their job, but many of them don't dare speak out. Many of them are being silenced by efforts like the one that I told you about, the search and seizure of this judge. But there are a few places in this world where the law still seems to work, where you have an independent judiciary. For example, there are a few places in Africa. We talked to a group of lawyers and a group of pastors who we got in touch with in South Africa, but also in Namibia and in other countries. And we believe that maybe that is not necessarily the solution, but it's a very promising step to take to work with these guys out there. Because when we spoke to them last night, for example, we spoke to this group of African lawyers and pastors. Renate Holzeisen was one of the participants in this Zoom conference. Martin Schwab, my friend, Professor Martin Schwab, was another one. And of course, Professor Ulrike Kämmerer, she's the PCR test expert. The thing is, we were surprised to learn that they knew everything. I mean, everything, all the little details, the medical details, the legal details concerning PCR tests, asymptomatic infections, et cetera. Those are the two cornerstone lies at the foundation of all of this, both of them invented by Drosten. And on top of this, and I think that's really important, they have a very strong, I guess you could call it either religious or spiritual level on which they also work. And it turns out, even though I'm not a religious person, but up until a year ago, I probably would have rolled my eyes or something, but it turns out that this is a level which is increasingly important. It's not going to be the law alone. We have to take into consideration the spiritual or religious level, because as it turns out, and it may sound overblown, but it turns out that this is a fight of good against evil. That's what it is.
Thank you, Reiner, and thank you to all of our panelists. I regret that we are now out of time, but I do want to say this to the audience for this. We have, you know, we've had extraordinary growth of the Defender. We were adding 1 million viewers per month, page views per month. We're now up around 5 million page views per month. But the way that we were adding page views was through social media. And all of our sites have now been blocked. My Instagram, my Facebook, CHD's Facebook and Instagram. And so it's very, very hard to get growth when those outlets are blocked. And so we really are relying on our audience through word of mouth, through spreading through your own social media, but do everything you can to get people's eyeballs on our site. The more people who are part of this community, part of this democratic movement, part of this science-based, evidence-based movement, the stronger that we are and the more able we are to resist this slide towards totalitarianism. So thank you very much to all of these heroes, these extraordinary warriors from all over the world. And let's go together to the barricades and let's win back our democracy. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Robert. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.